Stop freaking out about the offense, Badgers fans. I will tell you why.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Locked On Badgers, your daily source for everything happening in the Wisconsin football and basketball landscape. Again, I thank you all for making this your first listen each and every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts, also free on YouTube. You know, really appreciate the community we're building here, guys. Listen, don't freak out about the offense. It's too early. We're going to get into that. Nebraska picked to win the Big Ten. They didn't make a bowl game last year. We're going to get into that, as well as three reasons why you need to chill with the offensive concern and why this year's offense might be a little better than you think. Again, thanks as always for making this year or this show the first listen you have every single day. And let's get into it. So, again, I get it. We've seen the practice reports. We've seen people tweeting about Graham Mertz. And listen, I've talked about it with y'all. Right? That I've been one of the biggest critics of the quarterback room. I've been one of the people who, for a while, even onto our last show, or the show I was a part of previously before Locked On, you know, the Badgers offense has been concerning for a while. And I've been a little critical of Paul Christ and the inability to get it fixed. And now spring practice has started and everyone has seen the tweets about, you know, Graham Mertz struggling, the defense kind of dominating, getting pressure, the offensive line not holding up. Listen, it's too early. Okay, it's too early. And let me give you some reasons why we don't want to freak out quite yet. Legitimate stuff here. Now, I'm not saying be happy that the offense, you know, isn't necessarily playing great. And again, we're only seeing we're not seeing every practice, right? We're not seeing everything that the offense does. And there have been spurts, right? There's been some highlights that we've seen on Instagram and on YouTube put out with Keontez Lewis, with Mertz hooking up with some players. But for the most part, it seems like the defense is kind of dominated. However, a couple things to keep in mind, right? This is important. They're replacing six offensive coaches, okay? Or replacing is the wrong term. There are six offensive coaches in new spots on the offensive staff this year. That is a crazy amount of turnover, okay? And you just can't expect all those guys. And by the way, I like most of those moves. Like, I love Bob Bostead coming over to coach the O-line. I love Paul Christ kind of taking a bit of a step back. I love the Bobby Engram hire coming from the NFL and a coaching tree that I think is phenomenal. So I like a lot of what they're doing. I'm a little iffy on Chris Herring moving over to coach tight ends. I don't love that necessarily. Al Johnson coming into coach running backs. I probably would have preferred somebody with a little actual experience coaching running backs, but I think he's probably a really good coach. The bigger picture here, though, is even if every one of these hires is a home run, right? Even if every one of these moves is a home run, you have six people in different spots with Paul Christ taking a step back, Bobby Engram coming in, Herring moving over to coach tight ends, Al Johnson coming into coach running backs, Keller Christ is now working with the quarterbacks as a graduate assistant, and then Bob Bostead moving over, right? So that's a ton of turnover, guys. It is not realistic or fair to expect all those coaches, especially some of these dudes aren't brand new, not even – new to Wisconsin, right? Al Johnson has never coached running backs. And I think he's probably a great dude. Paul Christ doesn't hire bad character guys. He's probably a great dude, and I'm sure he knows X's and O's. He's never coached running backs, and he's a former offensive lineman, okay? Like, it's going to take a minute. Chris Herring has been coaching linebackers and then special teams. He hasn't coached tight ends before. Like, it's going to take a minute. Bob Bostead moving over to the offensive line should be pretty seamless. But even a guy like Bostead, who is an offensive line coach, right? It's going to take him a minute to figure out who he wants where, to establish a new culture for the offensive line, to get everyone in a new spot. It's going to take a minute. You guys, we got to chill a little bit. And again, I've been as critical as anybody. The offense is, and specifically probably the quarterback play in the passing game, is what has held this team back. Okay, I've been critical of it. But we have to let these moves take root before we freak out. Okay, again, most of these guys are new. Bobby Engram has never been an offensive coordinator in his life. And now we're bringing him in, and not only are we bringing him in, you know, Bobby Engram is coaching quarterbacks. He's never done that in his life. Okay, so the coaching turnover and the shuffling is a big deal, guys. It's not going to happen overnight. I think we got to let the spring just kind of roll through. Let the coaches get their rhythm. Let them find their footing, and then when fall happens, you know, we're really gonna have to start seeing how this looks. But you got to give it a second. You got to give it a minute. Here's the other thing. The Badgers are replacing almost 70% of our receptions from last year. Okay, so not only do you have a bunch of new coaches shuffling around, you have offensive alignment in different spots, right? Tyler Beach is moving inside the guard. Jack Nelson is moving out to left tackle. Logan Brown is moving to right tackle. Tippmann's hurt. So there's a lot of shuffling pieces here, but Danny Davis is gone. Kendrick Pryor is gone. Jake Ferguson is gone. Dunn is gone. Chanel is gone. Those five guys I just named there accounted for 68% of the receptions from last year's team. So you have an entirely new, and aside from really Sheem Ray Dike, an entirely new and inexperienced group of receivers as well. So you have Mertz coming in with a brand new quarterback coach, right? He's working with a brand new set of receivers with an offensive line that's shuffled in front of him. All right. Like it's again, I'm hammering this phrase, but it's going to take a minute. It is not, even if this works perfectly, right? All the coaches line up, the new receivers hit. It's still not going to look super sharp in the spring. Okay. And I think our expectations, because we've been frustrated for a while with the offense, I think we wanted instant gratification. Right, we are in an instant gratification world. We want cup of noodles offense, right? You put it in the microwave and a minute later it comes out ready to brew. And it's just, that's not what's going to happen with this offense. We got to give it a second. And the last thing I'll get into is, listen, they're going up against beasts. Like this defense, the culture, Jim Leonard, that front seven, we've talked about the linebackers, the defensive line is salty, a bunch of new experienced corners coming in from the transfer market. Yo, the Wisconsin offense that is practicing right now, breaking in six coaches into different spots, brand new receivers, shuffled offensive line, is practicing against one of the two best defenses they're going to face the entire season, right? You look at the Badger schedule, they're not going to play anybody defensively tougher than what they're practicing against right now, with the exception of maybe, you know, we have to travel to the Shoe. We got a game in week four against Ohio State, right? You know, Ohio State's defense the last couple of years hasn't been up to its typical standards, but well, last year was pretty good. But I don't even know if Ohio State's defense is going to be better than this Badger unit. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be really tough. That game in the Shoe is going to be incredibly tough, obviously. But again, so you factor all this together, a bunch of new coaches, shuffled offensive line, all new receivers, and practicing against a super salty Wisconsin defense. Yeah. Anyone expecting this offense not to struggle in spring? You know, it was probably a little, I would just say optimistic, right? And that's fine. I'm an optimistic dude, but I think we got to rein it in a little bit. Let's get them through spring. This is kind of like a breaking in period for the new coaches, the new receivers. Get them through spring. And then we really hit it in the fall. And again, you know, it might not work. I'm not saying Mertz struggling is fine. It might not work. It just might be the reality of the world we live in for this season, but it's too early really to say one way or the other. And coming up, I'm going to give you three reasons. I'm going to keep building on this, right? That's the foundation. I'm going to put the next story up on this. I'm going to give you three reasons why I'm actually pretty optimistic why the offense could be a little better, a little definitely more dynamic than last year. But first, you know, one of the favorite partners that we have on Locked On is BetOnline. I talk about it all the time. BetOnline is your ultimate source for all your online sports wagering needs, sports information, podcast news. And it's not just sports wagering, right? There's all your favorite casino games, roulette, blackjack. So you can, from the comfort of your home, go on there, look at all your sports betting needs, do all your Vegas casino games that you enjoy and love. And while you're there, get the latest sports news as well. It is your all-in-one site for all you sports fanatics out there, right? And this is a great time to do it. Basketball playoffs are starting. You know, I won some money on the Phoenix Suns yesterday. That team is a juggernaut. Honestly, you can do well just riding that hot backcourt that they got. And then you can also get into the NFL. The futures are there, right? If you know what's going to happen, you think you know what's going to happen, take a look at what the different odds are for the NFC Championship, the AFC Championship. Like I said, I keep banging that drum. I like the Niners plus 700 to win the NFC. So it gives you an opportunity to look ahead, figure out what's going on. All your sports betting wagering needs are there. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and actions. It's BetOnline, where the game starts. Thanks again for making Locked On Badgers your first listen every day. Now, starting April 28th, everyone knows the NFL draft is coming up. It's one of the favorite times of the year for football guys. Tune in to Locked On live NFL coverage of the 2022 NFL draft. 3 days, real-time analysis from our extensive lineup of experts and insiders. And for all those dying to know who your team's going to take, who that you think you're going to take, get analysis on it. Locked On NFL's mock draft special hosted by Brian Peacock and former scout Matt Williamson of the Peacock and Williamson NFL show will take over all week leading up to the first pick. Again, that's April 28th. Amazing NFL draft coverage on the Locked On Network. All right, guys, let's get into this next segment here. And again, I wanted to give you some reasons, some actual reasons with thought and discussion behind it. And please, guys, if you're listening to the show and you disagree with me, leave a comment. Let me know why you think I'm wrong. This is only my opinion. I could be dead wrong on all these, but I'm going to give you three reasons why I think the offense is actually going to be better than people maybe think. Okay. First one is, I think this one is probably the most obvious. It's a low hanging fruit for me, but I'm going to throw it out there. I think the offensive line is going to be vastly better. Period. Full stop. Right. I think the offensive line is going to be vastly better. And it's for a couple of reasons. The first one is just Bob Bostead. I think he is a perfect fit, you know, like a Lego piece that you just stick in there and it is fits perfectly snugly. He's an offensive line dude. His mentality is offensive line. And you can see it. You can kind of read between the lines. You know, some of the interviews that have come out with the offensive lineman this spring, a guy like Logan Brown basically says, you know, this mentality of finding a spot for me and letting me develop there. You know, I get more reps. The practices are better, right? And no one's trying to throw shade at Joe Rudolph, you know, the former offensive line coach who was a beloved dude. Like, everyone loved Joe Rudolph. But it's possible, right, he's a little too nice of a guy. And Bob Bostead is a dude, and former players have talked about this. He is a dude who you're going to hate the drills. You're going to hate what he puts you through. But when you're signing your second NFL contract, you're going to thank him, right? They already talked about the running gassers, you know, for false starts. They're running laps at the end of practice. They're building that toughness, that tenacity. And he's also made a shift, you know, from what I always was critical of Joe Rudolph for. And I've said this in the past. I didn't like Joe Rudolph constantly cross-training offensive linemen. I didn't like the in-game, you know, almost rotation where the second string offensive line would come out and the first, like, I didn't like it. If I think you're shortchanging players, like, who's your best left tackle? Put that dude there and leave him there. Who's your best left guard? Put that dude there and leave him there, right? Let players develop at the position they are best at before you worry about cross-training them to two or three different positions. And this is what Logan Brown has said. He's essentially said, like, putting me in a spot helps me develop better. I don't have to worry about getting reps at all these other positions. Now, does cross-training players help depth? Absolutely. Like, again, there is not a perfect solution where one side is all wrong and one side is all right. Like, Joe Rudolph did a lot of things really well, a great recruiter, but I am in love with the idea of Bob Bostead coming in with the offensive line, these young dudes, basically lighting a fire under them, putting them in a position where he thinks they're going to be best and just letting them develop. So that's reason number one for me, guys. I think the offensive line is going to be vastly better. The young talent is just bursting at the seams. There's 4- and 5-star kids everywhere. And now I think we have the offensive line coach to really kind of mesh up with that. So there's reason one. Reason two, I think the weapons are better. Okay, and I was a guy that was guilty last year. I really thought last year Kendrick Pryor would blow up a little bit. Super fast guy, veteran player. He was healthy. Him and Danny Davis, to me, really underwhelmed. And it's unfortunate. I thought they were going to be much better, and they just weren't, right? They just weren't. So we're going to – the young receivers are more inexperienced, but I think with Shemar Dike, Marcus Allen, Skylar Bell, you have three guys coming in who are just a little bigger, faster, more physical, especially Marcus Allen. But even Shemar and Skylar Bell, when you compare them to Danny Davis, who really just never developed over the course of his career at Wisconsin, he was always really slight, not really able to physically battle for a football. And then Kendrick Pryor, who always just seemed, despite his speed, like, he can run. Like, we've seen the speed times on Pryor posted, but he was just never able to get to the point where he constantly or consistently created separation, where he gave a receiver or a quarterback windows to throw to, right? And I'm not going to put it all on the receivers, obviously. Like, the quarterbacks play a role in that. The offensive line does. The play calling does. But I just think when you look at the combination of Marcus Allen, the 6'2", big bodied. I mean, he looks like a young Anquan Boldin just from the frame. We've seen Sheem Ray. We saw him in that Northwestern game 2 years ago. Just hauling, what was that? That deep, deep pass in the first half of the game, the 70-yard touchdown pass, whatever it was. Got an extra gear as well, and he's a little bigger. So the receivers, I think, are better. Obviously, you're losing Jake Ferguson, and no matter what you do next year to the tight end spot, that's going to be a downgrade. I mean, that one hurts. But I like Clay Cundiff. I like Jalen Franklin. I like Jack Eschenbach. I think as a committee, they can replace Ferguson. And the receivers, 1 through 3, 1 through 4, I think are much. Oh, Keontae Lewis, right? I didn't even mention him. That one slipped my mind. The transfer from UCLA, another big-bodied guy, more physical, you know, able to probably create better windows for Mertz to throw into. So I think 1 through 4, when you compare this receiver group to last year's, I think the difference is stark. It is a major jump up in physicality and athleticism. Now, they have to get more experienced, right? That takes reps. There's going to be some missed assignments, maybe some penalties, maybe some drops, but the physicality in that group is just going to be much better, right? And then keeping on the topic of weapons, Braylon Allen, right? Now, he came in last year, and everyone's saying, well, Ryan, like, Allen was there last year. Yeah, Allen was there last year coming in, not even knowing in the recruiting class he was going to play running back. He was a true freshman learning a newish position. Obviously, he played some running back in high school, but he's now going to have a full offseason at a dedicated position, a full offseason in the strength and conditioning program of a major D1 school. You know, another full offseason of coaching, going through running back drills. Because again, keep in mind, when he was recruited, you know, a lot of people thought he was a safety or a linebacker. The very initial thought on Braylon Allen was he was going to be a big in the box safety, and he kind of grew past that to be a linebacker, and then he became a running back. So I just think you're going to see a jump in the nuance of him running the ball, in the intricacies of him running the ball, probably a little more streamlined, maybe a little more stamina. He kind of wore down as the season wore on. You're going to get just a better group of positions around Graham Mertz. All right. And none of my reasons, if you notice, have anything to do with Graham Mertz, because I don't really know. I really don't know. I'm kind of basing all of this on if Graham Mertz stays the same, but you put a better offensive line in front of him and you put better running back behind him and better receivers on the outside, like the offense is going to get better just with those improvements if Graham Mertz stays the same. Now, we're not even talking if Graham Mertz takes a big step, right? If Graham Mertz takes a big step up, combined with the offensive line, second year Braylon Allen, and better receivers, like, watch out. This offense could go from decent to upper third, upper tier in the Big Ten pretty quickly. But I'm not betting on that. I really don't know what we're going to get from Graham Mertz. I don't want to throw that out there. I think everything around him is going to get better. The other reason, like I said, I told you I gave you three reasons. The other reason why the offense is going to be better next year is the opening schedule, the opening slate of games is so much more forgiving, right? They're going to play Illinois State. They're going to play, let me pull it up here. They're going to start off with Illinois State, Washington State, and New Mexico State, all at home, all in Camp Randall. And you remember last year, right, you had the Penn State game, you had the Notre Dame game, you had the Michigan game. And it felt like almost like a boxing match for the offense, and they just got stunned, right? They took a couple big shots, like a right cross in the first round. And it felt like the offense never really got its equilibrium fully back. It really staggered them. And it looked like the coaching staff pulled back a little bit. It became more conservative. Everything seemed to kind of go in a shell after those couple early season games where the offense was just brutal, where Graham Mertz was really bad, where there were a ton of turnovers. And it looked like the coaching staff just kind of said, all right, well, we can't win by throwing the ball, by opening up the offense. And so we're just going to go into a shell. We're going to hand it off a ton. We're going to ride the defense. And for the most part, that worked down the second half of the season, right? Wisconsin's schedule obviously got easier, but the team, you know, rattled off 8 wins. They put themselves back into the race. Now, that late season loss against Minnesota, where again, the offense just couldn't do anything, was brutal. But I feel like they just never got out of that early season staggering, right? They caught the right hook from Penn State, the uppercut from Notre Dame, and a couple jabs from Michigan. And they didn't go to the mat, but it felt like they stopped what they wanted to do and really pulled it back. So this year you're going to load up with a really, really, you never say cakewalk, but kind of a cakewalk start to the season at home. I think it's going to allow the offense to get into a rhythm, to build some confidence, to build some momentum, right? With the new offensive line, all the new coaches. And it's also, by the way, a godsend for the new coaches. You have all these guys in new spots and you don't have to start up playing a top 10 defense on the road or in a neutral site game. So getting off to a good start, I think, is going to be enormous for this Wisconsin team. Definitely something I think is going to help out. All right, guys, coming up after some words from our friends, Wisconsin is not the favorite in the Big Ten this year, according to ESPN FPI, Football Power Index. That would be Nebraska? We're going to get into that. All that and more on today's Locked On Badgers. All right, guys. Thank you again for making Locked On Badgers your first listen every day. So we're getting into the early kind of prediction phase of college football, right? College football is a year-round thing. You go from recruiting to signing days to spring practice, fall practice, midseason predictions, summer predictions, et cetera, et cetera. ESPN put out their Football Power Index, which, again, is not a human poll, okay? So it's statistical analysis, looking at returning production, records, schedules coming up, recruiting rankings. A lot of stuff goes into FBI, and I'm not going to sit here and say I know everything goes into FBI. But Nebraska is the slight favorite to win the Big Ten West. Nebraska. Okay, let's unpack this a little bit, because it's actually not super crazy in my opinion. And I've been the high guy in Nebraska for a couple years, which has frankly burned me for a couple years. Let's keep in mind, Nebraska last year went 3-9, 1-8 in the Big Ten. Right before that, they were 3-5 in the Big Ten. 3 years ago, they were 3-6 in the Big Ten. This is not a program riding any type of momentum. Scott Frost is on his last legs. Probably his last legs is probably too kind. He's on his last leg. He lost one of those legs last year. If he was a cat, he's lost 8 lives. So he went into this offseason. He took a pay cut, restructured his entire coaching staff, wholesale changes, tons of new stuff happening. And he brought in a really high profile quarterback transfer. Right, Casey Thompson's coming in from Texas. Casey Thompson's good, guys. They're finally out of what Adrian Martinez was an interesting player for them. Statistically one of the best players in Nebraska history, but always felt like he could never make winning plays when it mattered. And Casey Thompson comes in and he's going to give them some quarterback juice, some quarterback mojo. The other part of this, by the way, schedules play a huge part, right? I think Wisconsin is better than Nebraska pretty easily next year. But if you look at schedules, Nebraska's crossover games, two of them are pretty easy. They get Rutgers in Indiana. They also get Wisconsin at home, by the way. They get Iowa at home. Meanwhile, you look at Wisconsin, you look at Wisconsin's crossovers, they're going to Ohio State. They have to play at Michigan State. We also saw what Michigan State did last year. So some of this is a reflection of schedule. Nebraska has one of the easiest Big Ten West schedules this season. Nebraska is one of the easiest. Wisconsin is one of the toughest. And you also look at Nebraska last year losing tons of close games. Statistically, close games are kind of a coin flip thing, right? Nebraska last year very easily could have been a 500 team in the Big Ten. And I know that doesn't matter. People say you are what your record indicates, but there's underlying things behind your record. Losing close games indicates that, it's probably not a sustainable thing. If you continue to play close games, eventually you're going to start winning some of those. That's just how that stuff works. It's like Wisconsin's basketball team this year, right? Won every close game for basically 3 months. And then they lost two or three close games in a row. Because statistically, you can't just keep winning close games. There's not a clutch gene that exists for the most part. So I think people are looking at Nebraska last year as a team that was on the precipice of winning a bunch of games. So against some really good teams, by the way. Oklahoma, they lost a bunch of close games. Wisconsin, and some of them just freaky manners. And now that this year they have an easier schedule, they should have better quarterback play potentially with Casey Thompson. And Wisconsin, meanwhile, has a tougher schedule. And we still don't know about quarterback play with Graham Mertz. So I saw a lot of people making fun of this on Twitter, kind of the idea that Nebraska, which hasn't been relevant really since it came into the Big Ten, quite frankly, since Wisconsin welcomed it in extremely rude fashion to the Big Ten. Nebraska really hasn't been a player. So the idea that statistically, even just through a statistical analysis, that they'd be favored to win the division next year seems on the surface crazy. But when you dig into it, schedules play a big part. Their quarterback play should be better. They played a bunch of close teams, or played a bunch of close games, which people think can flip the other way. I don't think it's crazy. I mean, let me know what you guys think. I wouldn't put money on it, but I don't think it's crazy. It's definitely not as crazy as I think people think when they first look at it on face value. It's also going to be really interesting with Scott Frost, right? We talked about the seat can't get hotter for him, and that might create a situation where the wheels come off and it's a train wreck. It also might create a situation where he's been forced to kind of change some things up that maybe he was stubborn about, and maybe the players rally around him, and it creates, with an easier schedule and stronger quarterback play, it's definitely possible, guys, that Nebraska turns the tables this year. So that's going to be really interesting to watch. We're going to have a ton more on, you know, Big Ten previews, football previews coming up. And guys, we have some really good interviews coming up as well. We have more with John Garcia, the Sports Illustrated recruiting director. We're going to get him on the show tomorrow, so you guys don't want to miss that. We have an interview coming up with Tack Curtis's, the blue chip Louisiana linebacker, the Wisconsin after. We got his head coach coming on the show. We got some more coming up with Justin Julka, who was the founder of the Bucky Cast. So tons of good interviews for you guys coming up. We appreciate everybody listening, for everybody making Locked On Badgers your first listen every day and helping to build the community that we are building around Badger sports. If you like the show, guys, please like, subscribe, leave comments. Let us know how we can be better. You know, give you the guys the comments that you want, the content that you guys want. You can always reach out to us on Twitter at Locked On Badgers, or send us an email at lockedonbadgers@gmail.com. Again, guys, I can't appreciate all the listens enough. It really means a lot for you guys to take some time out of your day and help, you know, just kind of join this community and talk Badger sports. So thank you so much. Tons of great stuff coming up. Thanks for making Locked On Badgers your first listen every day. Make Locked On NFL Draft your second listen. Ryan Tracy and former NFL quarterback Eric Crocker bring the latest NFL draft news to you from prospects to front offices. Also free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks, guys.